Yeah, Pastor Manuel speaking last week and he got talk back. You can talk back, okay? This morning, it's okay. Good morning. Oh man, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 2. We're going to start in verse 8. If you have a digital copy, make sure to tap to the New Living Translation. That's where we'll be hanging out. Well, Advent. Yes. There was Up Here a couple of weeks ago. I love Christmas. My family loves Christmas. It's great. I love the fun and the brightness and the joy of it all. And the concept of Advent, the anticipation. My family, we sit around and we read an Advent devotional guide. And Kim's really good at creating these experiential moments. And we have the decoration. We put on this wreath every day we do this. And we anticipate. What are we anticipating? We're anticipating that God, the almighty creator of the universe, that he gave up everything. That he gave up all his God powers so that he could be truly human, this fragile baby. Philippians 2 says he emptied himself to be like us. Christmas, in its the purest sense of it, is such a beautiful thing, a blessing. A time of remembrance, of celebration, of good food and family and friends and charity and generosity and praise. Amen? Yeah. But I do admit that Christmas has the potential to not become that. I saw in a news report this year that Christmas will be one of the most stressful and anxiety-driven shopping experiences this year. You know, you got to decorate the tree, and I don't know if you have one of those ones you got to put together and make sure all the branches are the right way, and you spend forever doing that. And you're like, what did I do for the last 2 hours? You got the lights that you're putting up, and you try to make every dollar count by finding the best deals. There's those worrisome credit card bills that are coming in January. The family get-togethers, which is great until you see so-and-so that you haven't seen in a while, and then all the tension comes back in that, and then you have to sit down beside them at the table. Right? It's not all that it, you know, there's more to it. You got to buy this and that and the other thing. And you're out every night of the week at this Christmas function and that Christmas function. And we feel exhausted. And oh, shoot, we just got a gift and a card from that person. So we're going to have to go out quickly. We're going to have to buy that person a gift because we forgot about them. Or you go up to that under the Christmas tree, the gift you've already gotten. That chocolate box, and you throw a bow on that, and you give it to them. Don't tell me you haven't done that. You have. No wonder the Grinch cringed and was angry as he shouted all the noise, 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 noise. Christmas can become something it wasn't supposed to be. And friends, that existed before the Abbotsford flooding. And the chaos that ensued there. It existed before COVID and the tensions of difference in viewpoints and position. It existed before tornadoes wiped through the United States. The Advent candle that we lit today, it signifies peace. And some of you are probably thinking, like, Mike, are you telling me that December 2021... the Advent season riddled by COVID and floods and Christmas crazy, that there's peace to be found? Yes, there is. And let's tap into it. Would you join me in prayer? God, may we experience your peace. In the midst of all that's going on all around us, show us peace this morning. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, Luke 2, my boy Linus from Charlie Brown's Christmas, he preaches this text. How many of you guys watched Charlie Brown's Christmas already this season? Yeah, it's good, right? He preached that. I'd use a different translation because I just go and I'll just start saying the way Linus does. So we are using the NLT. Verse 8 says this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Man, Pastor David Manuel last week, if you want to hear about joy and you missed it, or if you need to go and listen to it again, listen to last week's sermon on joy. He knocked it out of the park. I was so blessed by that. And now we're talking about peace, right? It says the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. I love what Pastor Manuel said last Sunday when he talked about sanctified imagination. Can I do that again today? Because when I look at Exodus 34 and Moses is communing with God, not for long, but he goes up there. What happens? He comes down and he is literally glowing like a light bulb. His skin, the physical and the spiritual combining, and he is radiating light to the point where he has to wear a veil because people are afraid. That's the power of being in God's presence. And so as I think about this scene that's before us, could you imagine angels that are in God's presence all the time, brilliantly shining light? An incredible number of angels. Like, I don't know how many angels would have been there. But if you were proclaiming for the one and only time, the first, the Messiah, I mean, he's coming again, but this one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world is coming, I would not miss that party. I believe that every angel was up there in the sky, lighting up the night, like never seen before by human eyes. And the shepherds got it wasn't just the physical, their eyes were unveiled to see the spiritual realm, and they saw it. And suddenly a performance, a choir extravaganza broke out, the likes that which has never been seen, not even close at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. And then these really important words. Pay attention. This is what the angelic choir wanted us to hear. Try to hear this as if for the first time. They sang, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." We'll get back to that. Let's keep going though. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And I can only imagine that the shepherds' eyes needed to adjust from the bright light that they've just seen. Suddenly it's gone from boom, the brightest light they've ever seen, back to silence, darkness, lit only by the stars in the sky or the moon, a lantern, or maybe a small fire. And when their eyes adjusted, they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby. He's lying in a manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone who had what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And I love this next verse. Mary experiences all that is happening. And in this verse and Luke 2:51, this is how she takes it in. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The ESV says that she treasured up these things in her heart. Such a humble woman. The shepherds went back to the flocks and they were changed. Now they were glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. The statement, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. As I always do when I'm preaching, I start out by reading the passage in a couple of different translations, and then I'll pray about it. God, what do you want for us? What are you trying to share with us? And as I read the song of the angels and took in the magnitude of what was happening, I got to tell you something. I had a moment of tension. Like Christmas. Christmas story, and I have tension. When I read it, did you? Well, let's look back on that declaration. Glory to God. Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. Peace on earth. Very Christmassy. Love it. Here's the tension. To those whom God has pleased. I'm used to Linus's King James Version. On earth, peace and goodwill towards men. But as I look at the Greek and the commentaries and I dig in, we can't read the text like that. It literally says, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Wait, is there a merit-based peace? Like if we please God enough, then we'll be able to jump into all God's peace awesomeness? Is that what this passage is saying? You see, if our theology of God is that of a disapproving father that constantly shakes his head at us and gets mad at all our failures, this verse is hard to hear. It's hard to process. I mean, can anyone actually please God? Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Essentially, we've disappointed him. And if we look in our hearts, we've often disappointed ourselves, right? Yet you got to hear this. Praise God for this. That is not who our God is. That's not the end of the story. The main character is a loving, sacrificial God, not a disapproving father. And now Jesus enters in, and that's why the angels are singing so fervently. They're singing about Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. They're announcing the God child who has come to bring peace to all if we would only receive it. The only one who can ultimately take our embarrassment and our shame and our past mistakes and take it on himself, those consequences. Nailed to the cross, and then he rose from the dead. He conquered sin, Satan, and death once and for all so that Romans says, so that we could obtain the righteousness of Christ. To obtain the righteousness of Christ. You know what that means? The weight is off. The embarrassment can be gone. He picks us back onto our feet. And if you believe this, I hope you believe this, because God is smiling down on you and me. And now we can rock it for the kingdom with joy and peace and love and hope and all of it. Jesus is the answer. Amen? If you give control of your life to Jesus, then God is pleased with you, and we can with great joy shout with the rest of the angels, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. Peace to us. And praise Jesus for that, because the world ain't offering it. John 14:27, Jesus says this. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace in mind. And heart. And the peace I give you, the world cannot give you. You see, friends, only the Holy Spirit can give true peace. Shalom, completeness, which is why the angels were so pumped to announce it. In John 16:33, he finishes talking about his death and resurrection, and then Jesus says this. He says, I have said these things to you. Get this. that in me you may have peace. In Jesus, you may have peace. We know the next part of this verse, right? It says, here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, flood and COVID and death and wronged relationships and all of that stuff. We'll have sorrow. We'll have trouble. There's a but in that, though. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. Jesus. Friends, this isn't a one day in heaven you're going to experience that peace. No, no. The peace that passes understanding is right now, today, through the power of the Holy Spirit for you and for me with whatever we're going through. So when you think of your relationship with God and your interactions, you know, the exchange your soul has with the Spirit, do you experience him as the Lord of peace, as 2 Thessalonians says, the giver of peace? In your life, do you experience the peace that the Bible promises? You know, if you're honest with yourself, and if you're like me, you'll probably admit that there are times in your life when you haven't experienced that peace. Like, God is eternally the Lord of peace. He always gives peace. Yet in those seasons of life, we fail to grasp it. Maybe you've never experienced that peace before. Maybe you understand it, but you somehow can't push it down 30 centimeters down so that your heart and your soul can experience deep peace. So my question is, if the Bible offers it, if Jesus died and rose again so we can experience his peace, then how? How do we experience that peace? There's so much busyness. So much noise, so much conflicting messages all around us. So how do we experience the peace, the shalom, God's completeness? Isaiah 26:3 says this: God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. Colossians 3:16 actually exhorts us. It's telling us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I think we often just keep doing our thing, and God's doing his thing, and we just assume that it's going to come together and we'll get all that awesomeness that God has for us. But could it be that in the busyness, in all the things we are doing, that we are actually shutting the door on God? He's right there. Revelations 3:20 says, hey, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm right there. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Let me into the fray. Let me in. I think those verses are telling us something. There's a common thread in those three verses. Fix your thought on him. Let the peace rule in your heart. Open the door. See, these aren't passive things. These are actions things. We need to actively pursue God's peace for our thirsty, our soul that is thirsty and desperate for it. But you know what? Instead of tapping in to the fount of living water, where do we go when we're overwhelmed? Like, I'm asking you this. Where do you go when you can't handle things? When you need to shut off? Whatever. When I need to shut off my mind and have a break, I'll often engage in a puzzle game on my phone, or I'll watch a show. And I can confess that inevitably one show comes two or three or four. Or the game just goes on and on and on, and I actually feel more tired, not less tired. And I lack sleep now because I've had that late into the evening. The thing is that in moderation, the thing that in moderation could be a form of recreation and relaxation becomes just another thing to busy myself. Maybe that's you. Maybe you, that's kind of escapism, right? Maybe you numb yourself. You just incessantly flip up on your socials. Maybe you lose yourself in a game or Netflix, or you watch video after video after video on YouTube. Or maybe you don't escape. Maybe you self-medicate. Maybe you grab for the bottle. For the third and fourth beer, for the second and third glass of wine. Another lust of a flesh that only lasts for a moment. Maybe you go there. Or maybe you fix things. You push aside your own stuff because you can't deal with that, and you go fix other people. Maybe that's you. And then you come back, and the problem is you're so tired that you can't deal with you then. Like, some of these things that I talked about, they're not bad. But how many times, some of them are bad, by the way. Some of the things we have to work on. But how many times have we gone to those things when our soul's longing, the thing that we should do before anything else, is with intentionality experience God's shalom, his completeness, his peace. Friends, the way to tap into the peace Jesus offers isn't in consuming more and more entertainment. It's not in your addiction. Please hear me. We know that, right? The world doesn't offer peace. It's in the stillness. It's in the quiet with God. We can actually push away the noise. Maybe we can learn how to tap in peace by the giver of peace. Jesus was our example. There's a couple things, you know, just briefly. Jesus never sinned. And so he didn't have turmoil in his heart. He had peace. And so maybe, not just for our relationship with God and our relationship with others, but for us, we need to strive for righteousness too, for that as well. That's just a tidbit you can take home. Jesus also did a lot of ministry. And I don't know about you, but when I do ministry, when God works in me in amazing ways in the lives of the people around me, man, I just feel pumped. I feel peace. I feel joy. I feel all of that. But there's a third thing. You see, Jesus shuts off the world and spends time with his heavenly Father. Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. I love the way Eugene Peterson's The Message says it, so I'll say this. It says, as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer and communion with God. Time and time again, we read in the scripture that Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the God-man, went out to hang out with his God, his Father that loves him. There's literally hundreds of people below this, at the bottom of the mountain, waiting for him to preach and waiting for him to heal. And he takes the time, because it's important, with his heavenly Father. And if Jesus does that, I'm pretty sure we should do it too. We don't know how to do that in our culture. And you know what? Even if we do carve out time to hang with God, how many times does it end up being the checklist? For one, we're looking back 2 days on our reading plan and we're trying to catch up and check that off. And then we have our prayer list that we're checking off, and these things are all good and amazing. But if our heart's posture is the check off instead of the connection with God, then we're missing it. You see, we cry out to God for peace. but we don't stop to receive it. We cry out for God's shalom, but we don't slow down to embrace it. If the story was written about your life, how cool would it be if you could have this within it? Just like Jesus, it read, as often as possible, you withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer and communion with God. What if we could get there? I'm a type A personality. I'm on doer mode like 95% of the time. I have diagnosed ADHD. I need help with this. I struggle with this. I need accountability. There's one of my accountability people right there in the audience. But I'm learning. Join me in that. I'm trying to get up 3 times a week. Put my timer on for 15 minutes and just spend some time in silence and solitude with God. Maybe I'll think on an attribute or a name of God. Maybe I'll share the saying or the verse, be still and know that I am God. Or I'll just say there's power in the name of Jesus. I'll just say Jesus, Jesus, and then just breathe in God's presence, and it's amazing. Here's another one. 9 months ago, we got a dog. Crazy, energetic puppy named Bailey. And I got this inspired thought from God to take her off leash at a walk in a quiet area. But hey, it wasn't for the dog this time. It was for me and God. See, Bailey kind of acted like a priest of sorts. She got me out. She stayed close. The birds sang, the chipmunks chattered. There's an eagle that was waiting to just come down and grab a spawning fish as they were wiggling in the water. The wind rustled the leaves, and minus a couple of commands to Bailey, I didn't say a word. I heard and I experienced God, and my soul was full. You see, God loves you, and God meets us uniquely where we're at. Maybe you find a painting or a picture, and you just pray, God, would you reveal your heart to me through this picture? And you just meditate on that for a bit. Maybe you go and get your energy. You go for a bike ride to shut out the world. Maybe you go for a walk and you think on Psalms 23 or another passage in Scripture, or you pull up a blanket at the ocean and you hear the waves and sense God's presence and peace that way. Maybe you find a dark and quiet chair in the early morning. There are so many more. It's intentionality, though. The Bible doesn't just say, boom, you have peace. Here's the gift. Go unwrap it. Receive it. If you need more examples, feel free to email me. I got this whole pamphlet of different ways that you can be intentional in meditation with God and connection with God. But let's ask God for peace. He's going to give it to us. So let's then carve out the time to receive it. And I want to say that if you have never experienced that peace, maybe today is the day to give up those things that you're reaching for fulfillment and it's not actually fulfilling. And maybe instead you embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life and the true giver of peace. If that's you, don't take another day without that peace. Come talk to me during worship or after service. Talk to somebody else. Man, can you do that? I want to do something, and it's nerve-wracking for me, so I hope that's okay, that I'm going to try something here. I feel like we just need a moment to take in that peace right now. We're just going to spend a couple minutes, and I invite you to close your eyes. And we're just going to be silent. whether you're here in the worship center or whether you're at home. Just get comfortable. After this time of silence, I'll close in prayer, and then the worship team will lead us out in worship. But right now, just breathe in. Deep, slow breath through your nose. And then breathe out. Take about 4 seconds for each of these. It's called square breathing. Breathe in through your nose. Jesus. And then breathe out. Do that a couple more times. Thank you that you're well, that it never runs dry, that we can experience your peace and your joy again and again by coming to you. God, help us to remember. Help us to carve out time so that we can often, every day, we can experience the peace you want to lavish on us, no matter what we're facing. We pray that in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.